The Chinuch tells us a very interesting yisoid, and the Chinuch tells us as follows. A human being is made up from dust of the earth. Sometimes a person needs a little bit of a jolt, a little bit of a kick. And just like, can you imagine, when an army, when troops go to war, in order to pump them up, in order to get them going, in the best possible manner, what they do is they play certain war music, trumpets, all sorts of things to get them into the mood, in order to get them into the Indian of Din, the Indian of Bukhama, the Indian of fighting. Yom Adin, a person has to realize all of the Inyanim that's going on during the day is like a Mulchama. Says the Chinuch, the sound of the Shofar is something that's meant to represent Klal Yisrael going to Yom Adin. Literally, the Tzaddik brings down one of the reasons why we blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There's many reasons we'll speak out, but one of the reasons is it reminds a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into our nostrils Ruach Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into our nostrils life. And the representation of blowing the Shofar should remind the person that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into our shell the breath of life that causes us to live in a continual manner. And a person has to take that to mind on Rosh Hashanah when he hears the Shofar, to think for a moment what it means that we were given life. We were given life by the Ribbono Shel Olam to live in the best possible way. How are we using this life? How are we making advantage of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us? That's what Tzvi Tzadik brings down as one of the Yesodas of the Shofar. Rabbaran of Karolin explained a very famous Yesod in Shofar, and he said that the Tekiah sounds, if you go through them, we'll explain Be'ez Hashem tonight what the halachas are about the sound of the Shofar, what you're meant to be listening for, what happens if you made a mistake, what is the kavana, all sorts of interesting halachas. Rabbaran Karolin explains that the reason for the Tekiahs is that in the original Tekiah, as we know, is a tekiah is a long sound, long, straight, perfect sound. That is how we were before we did any aveiras. A straight, perfect person came along an aveira, which is represented as the shvarim, which is a broken sound. We did an aveira, unfortunately we went to a lower level. Comes the trua, which is the sound of which is crying, as we're going to explain Be'ez Hashem. It's an Indian of crying and tshuva back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what do we have after that? Back to a tekiah. Back to a straight, long, perfect sound. So the Baron of Kalin, this is the Yesod, the tekiah shofar. It shows all of us how we go through our life, how we're perfect, how we fall, how we do tshuva, and then we become perfect again. That is the Yesod that the Baron of Kalin explains from tekiah. The Vyagid Yaakov brings down also a beautiful Yisoid, especially of the Tekiah Gedol, and he writes that Gemara, everybody knows the Gemara in Brachos. Who doesn't know this Gemara in Brachos? The Gemara in Brachos says, "V'mokum shebali tshuva oimdim afilu tzadikim gemur lo oimdim." So the Gemara in Brachos, taf lamadala nomadei on the base, so the Gemara about tshuva, someone that did tshuva is on a higher madrega than a tzadik who never did an aveira before. Why that is so, we're not going into right now. That is not our Indian, that's not what we're coming here to. However, the Yesod is Zot, the Vyagid Yaakov, the Yesod of Shofar is to give us that Yesod. That when you have a Tekiah Gedol at the end of all of the blasts of the Shofar, it's there to represent the Bali Tshuva. That we're standing and we want to stand on a higher level than a Tzaddik. That's the Yesod of Shofar, that's the Yesod of what we're looking for by the Tekiahs, by the Shofar, whatever it is. The Yismach Moshe brings a wonderful medrash. Says the Yismach Moshe, when Klal Yisrael blew the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself rises from the kisei of din, of judgment, and moves over to the kisei of rachamim, of mercy. So you'll ask, if that's the case, then on Rosh Hashanah everybody blows the shofar, everyone should be okay. Life should be good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all a wonderful life because we blew the shofar. And when you blow the shofar, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves on to the kisei of din and moves over to rachamim. What's the answer? Zukli Yismach Moshe, such a tremendous Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Let's remember this. Says Yismach Moshe, the shofar is only effective if it does something inside you. It's not good enough to come to Rosh Hashanah, to shul, sit back, relax, read your art scroll, Machsa, and say, that's it, I'm Yaitza. What a great Rosh Hashanah. Zukli Yismach Moshe, a person has to be Orion himself. Something of what the shofar is meant to represent, and then the shofar carries with it this tremendous skula of causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us such a wonderful, wonderful year, as we're going to explain as we continue. Let me give you a couple of halachas before we continue, and that is like this: which shofar are we using? Which shofar are we allowed to use? So the mitzvah of the Shulchan Aruch tells us in the beginning of Siman Tov Kuf Pei Vav Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says the mitzvah is a shofar shel ayin, right? A kemes, that's a zocha. Why? It's the zeichah to Akedas Yitzchak. What's the zeichah to Akedas Yitzchak? So we all know Akedas Yitzchak was when Yitzchak Avinu was Mesiras Nefesh to give his life to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's that Mesiras Nefesh which we're trying to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the Mesiras Nefesh of Yaakov Avinu, of Yitzchak. Look at that wonderful Mesiras Nefesh. And eventually give us the bracha that you're going to give over there. So Mamela, that's why we dafka use a shofar shalayim. Mi'ika hadin, every shofar is kosher for Rosh Hashanah. Except for a cow. Except for a cow. Because a cow, when you learn the Gemara and Makkabah, the cow's horn is called a keren. It's not called a shofar. A keren of a cow is actually stuffed up. It's not hollow like a shofar. A shofar is actually completely hollow. Now, the halacha is that a shofar mi'ika has din is kosher whether it's bent over, it's kofuf, or even if it's 100% yashar, it's 100% straight. Mitzvah min amulcha is what we'll be looking at when you see the person blowing the shofar. The mitzvah min amulcha is to have a shofar that is kofuf. Why? Because it represents our heart that is bent over and we're trying to humilitize ourselves. And that's the reason why we get that shofar. Which shofar is possible? So you have to know, number one, nikkav, if it has a hole in it. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. Now what makes it puzzle? What makes a shofar puzzle? So number one, if it has a hole in it, right? So if it has a hole in it, even if it produces a nice sound, it's kosher, as long as the roiv of the shofar doesn't have a hole. Lechatchila, the poskim bring down that a person is meant to have a shofar that has absolutely no hole whatsoever. Now, it does make it puzzle when it changes the sound. If you have a shofar in it, that the sound has changed because of the hole, so obviously you have a problem. So there's all sorts of ways that they do in order to test to see if it's cracked a hole, or if it's got a, if it's, you know, if it's a sholim, if it's fully whole, or if it's got a hole inside it, and whatever way, sometimes they're very, very small holes that can actually affect the sound. Nizdak, if it's got a crack in it. So if it's got a crack in it, there's a machloikis, how much of it makes it possible. Some say even a mashu, tiny crack can make it possible because it will obviously become bigger and bigger. Others say as long as it's roiv, not cracked, it's kosher. Again, as I heard from a very choshev expert today, that most of our shofars are generally not made that way. We don't have all these problems that it generally will not crack and crack to become much bigger and bigger. There is a shayla that the Mishnah Berurah even writes. When we learn Be'ez Hashem, Hilchos Daled Minim, and you buy yourself a lulav, and the lulav, for example, could be a shayla at the top of the lulav, will explain it. So the Mishnah Berurah over here, Hilchos Shofar writes, and if you have a shofar with a crack in it, you can actually glue it. There's actually in Marashav and other Gedolei poskim that you can be maker and glue it, but again, we're not going to go into all of these shofars. One thing we do know is, when it comes to the shofar, we're looking for a crying sound. And that's the yisod, obviously we're going to get to halacha in a moment, but the yisod of the shofar is a cry. We're trying to represent what a cry is, and the Gemara and the Rishonim go to lengths to discuss what is a crying, how do people cry, they cry this way, they cry that way, and it seems that the yisod of the shofar is about crying. The shayla is why? What's it got to do with crying? In the Hanami we can explain, Al Pidrush, it means the crying of Tshuva, it means the crying from us to the Ribbono Shel Olam, after the Aveirah, or whatever it may be. The Enyurabba writes a very interesting reason, and he writes the reason why we need crying is a simple thing, is we're trying to show, to remember what Sori Imenu did at the time of the Akedas Yitzchak. We know that when Sori Imenu heard about the Akedas Yitzchak, she heard her son had been put on the Mizbeach and was about to be killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, she cried. And that cry that we're trying to remember at the Zman of the Shofar and at the Diviyaks of the Klosenberg, whoever brings the Avudran, that brings a Medrash, that says the same idea as this as well. And that is, we're trying to remember the cry that Sora Amenu did, and that cry should mechapa for us. Rabbi said, we're trying to figure out what is the Shofar when you'll be standing in this space of Medrash and you'll be listening to whoever it is that's blowing the Shofar right by the Bima. You have to think about all of these things. We'll talk about Nakavonis in a moment. But we have to realize what we're doing. It's not just a matter of hearing a sound. Zut the poiskim b'pi achronim b'pi chazal. That the Yisrael of the Shofar is, it's meant to awaken in us something. And in this particular thing, it's to awaken the crying that Sora Imenu did at the time of the Kedis Yitzchak. And therefore we're trying to remember that as well. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us a tremendous thing. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, again it's our bidroshes that we're not going into right now, but the Gemara says that when a person blows the Shofar in a shul wherever he is around the world, it's as if he's blowing the Shofar at Tnai Lefin, which means it's as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. You know what that means? You know what Kedusha that is? And the Meir Rabbi Sol Salanter writes a letter and he says this Gemara is not stam. This Gemara is Poshut Pshat. That means it literally is when they blow the Shofar here in Rosh Hashanah in this yeshiva. It's not stam yeshiva here in Ramat in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. Oh no. They're blowing the Shofar, says the Gemara, as if you are the Kohen Gadol standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Says Rabbi Sol Salanter. A little bit further than that. He says, can you imagine, we all know the Gemara. The Gemara says in Yuma, Kama Mokoyes and Shas, that the Kohen Gadol, if he was not right to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we all know he had to have a little chain around his leg, and a chain led outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and no one else was obviously allowed to detect for him. And if he wasn't right, what happened? He died and had to drag his body out of where he was. So you've got to be pretty good to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to come out alive on Yom Kippur. Zubi Bissol Salanta, if the Gemara is saying that when we blow the Shofar, we are like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash, that should instill in us some kind of fear of what's going on of the Shas HaDin. We all know, right, the Sforim bring it down, the Chazal, it's brought down from Gedolei Achronim, that the Zman of the Shofar in Shul on Rosh Hashanah is the exact moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding what to do with you. And you can imagine that's Tolly in that, right? Baruch Hashem, we all want to live a good life. We want to have health, Beis Hashem. We want to have happiness, Beis Hashem. We want Shidduchim. And then Beis Hashem, we want children. And we want them to be healthy. And we want them to be firm. And we want, we've got all the needs in the world. It's that moment of Rosh Hashanah that Chazal are telling us, the Zman of Tkiyah Shofar, when everyone's quiet and they stand by the Bima and they announce Tkiyah, whatever it may be, at that moment, say Chazal, the Shas of Din, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting al Kisei, whatever that means, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne to judge us in order to realize what's going on. So that's number one. I want to speak at some of the reasons of Shofar. There's approximately 17 reasons of Shofar. I'm not going to go through all of them. We have to know one thing. There's no real reason for Shofar. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva brings down that we all know that the Shofar is a Gzeiras HaKosov. As I state in the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Halacha, Dalet. Shofar is Gzeiras HaKosov. That means we blow Shofar. You know why? Simple. The Ribbono Shel Olam told us to blow Shofar. For no other reason. Now it happens to be, as the Chinuch always does, and other Gedolei Achronim, is we like to add reasons. We like to say reasons, so let's say some of the reasons for Tkiyah Shofar. I think it's important for us to go to Yom Tov understanding a little bit of what's going on in the day, a little bit of appreciation to understand what means a Shofar. So number one, the Rambam tells us there is Enoch HaNamit, the same as I constantly do, because the Rabbi Mishloim told us, but there is a Remez. There's a Remez in the Torah, and that Remez is, Yishonim Mishnatzkem, in other words, the Rambam, it's an alarm clock. It's something that gives us, like we said in the beginning, a kick. A person needs an alarm clock to wake up. You know, we go through the whole year, we continue. All of a sudden, it comes to Elo. Ooh, we hear the shake. It wakes that person up. It gives the person, ooh, oh my gosh, it's coming up to Rosh Hashanah soon. You know what I mean? It's serious. And therefore, Zuk the Rambam, it's a Remez. That's what Shofar is. Number two, the Sforim bring down as well that we know that Rosh Hashanah is Ki'ilu, the birthday of the world, when we Ki'ilu, Kabiyahu, crown the Ribbono Shel Olam as Melech. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Melech of the world before we were in existence, before the world was in existence. But our PK, this is a reminder that we crown Ribbono Shel Olam as our Melech. And therefore, on the day that the king becomes crowned, what do? We sound trumpets, we make sounds, it's very interesting, it's very gishmak, and that is one of the yesodos of Shofar. We're recrowning the Ribbono Shel Olam as our Melech. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are our Melech. That's the yesod of the Yom of Rosh Hashanah. It's the same, we'll speak about this as we continue, what exactly the person may be doing on Rosh Hashanah. We'll get to that in a later shiur. But our component in the yesod of Rosh Hashanah, what we're mentioning now, is to be mamelech to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one yesod. Another example of Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Aseret Tshuva, so we're saying that this is the beginning. Another time that's brought down in the Svarim Abdoishim is to remember the Har Sinai, and Har Sinai we know, because Shofar Chazak Ma'od, we said Na'aseh B'Nishma, there was a Shofar there, so this reminds of us Kabbalas HaToyah, which reminds of our obligation to the Ribbono Shel Olam and what we're meant to be doing. Another example is the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The other one obviously is Akedas Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was Moshe Nefesh for his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number 7 is, this is a double poshet. It makes people scared. Right? Chazal even tell us, a lashon in the poshet, is how can a person hear the shofar and not get scared? How can you not tremble when you hear that sound of the shofar? It's frightening. And it gives a person, again, as we mentioned again and again, it's that chinuch, that we're meant to give a person a little bit of a kick. We're meant to be remembering the Yom HaDin. Obviously, there's reasons, I'll be kavona, I'll be sodas, and I'll be all sorts of interesting things. Which kavona, out of the kavonas that we just mentioned, should you be having during the Tekiyas HaShem? Very interesting. I mean, it's lovely to learn all the reasons. But what are you meant to be doing in life when it comes to Tekiyas HaShem? So it's very interesting. They ask from Shema Zalman Obach, what kavana is a person meant to have? You know, you can imagine, it comes the time right before Musaf, right, just having a good shachris, maybe had a break, maybe didn't have a break, maybe yeah, make kiddush, not make kiddush, but now it's starting Musaf. They say, Lam Nad Seyach, 7 times, and everyone's excited, everyone's in the mood, it's all exciting. And then comes the Zman HaTekiyas HaShofar. What are you meant to be thinking at that moment? So they asked Rosh Chodesh Zalman, they expected some crazy answer. I'll pick a ball, think about this, and have the neighbors of Yud Kei, Vov Kei, backwards, and 3 times that. I got some answer. So the famous Zalman is very poshut. All the reasons of the shofar, the chinuch, and the Rambam, and the Kaf HaChaim, and the Mishnah, all the beautiful reasons. These are the reasons that you should think about maybe before Tekiyas Shofar. At the time of Tekiyas Shofar, so the famous Zalman, what are you meant to think about? One thing, we're listening to the shofar because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to. That's it. We're mekayem the mitzvah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's it. That's the only thing you're meant to be thinking about. And then just mentioned to somebody today that they asked from Nosson Tzvi, the Rosh Yeshiva, the son of the Meir. They asked him, what kavana are you meant to have during Tekiyas Shofar? And he said a very interesting answer. And that answer was, think about the person sitting next to you. Which means, you have to realize, obviously this is not the main kavana, obviously he also meant to have kavana for the mitzvah of the shofar. But it means, life is not all about you. It's about other people as well. Ben Adam L'chaveiro, v'after l'vecha k'moicha, take a second to think about somebody else. And that's a very, 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 very important statement that a person should think about. Obviously during the shofar, for sure during Elul, for sure as we're getting up closer to Rosh Hashanah. Now I want to explain the status of what on earth are we doing and listening to during Rosh Hashanah. All these shofars, right? Where does it say that we have to go in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and start blowing for 100 kodes of a shofar? Where does it say that? Right, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. What does it say? So all it says is Yom Teruah. That's it. That's all the Torah says is Yom Teruah. It's the day of the blowing, however you want to translate it. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. So where do we get from there that we stand in shul and we stoop sometimes over 100 blasts of the shofar? Where does it come from? So it's very interesting. So it starts like this. Min HaTorah, very simple. Min HaTorah, a person is meant to listen to 9 blasts of the shofar. As those stating the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tuflam and Gimel on the base, where the Gemara says that all you have to listen to is 9 blasts of the shofar. You have to listen to as follows. Min HaTorah, to get a shofar in Rosh Hashanah is to hear 3 sets of a Teruah, right? A Teruah, Yom Teruah. And Chazal tell us that each Teruah has to have a Tekiyah before and a Tekiyah afterwards. So if you imagine, if you have 3 Teruahs, each one with a tekiyah before and a tekiyah after. How many is that? 9. Very simple. As I state in the Gemara, in HaTorah, after you've heard 9 blasts of the shofar, you're free to go. That's it. You're yotzei mitzvah min HaTorah. However, Chazal had a problem. And the problem is, what is a Truah? And this is a big problem. When the Torah says Truah, Yom Teruah, what does that mean? We don't know what a Truah actually is. One thing we do know, the Targum tells us, is Yabob, it's a type of crying. Now the only problem is, how do you cry? You know, some people cry with longer breaths, some people cry with shorter breaths. You know, everyone cries in a different way. So the Torah says, a Yom Teruah, that you need a Teruah in between two tkiyas, what is a Teruah? And that's the big problem. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara goes back with a Machloikas Tanoim. Machloikas Tanoim in the Gemara. Whether Teruah is broken up into small blasts, what we call maybe a Teruah, or maybe it's broken up into smaller, but not so, but a little bit longer, like what we call a Shemarim. That's the Shaila of the Gemara. Because of that, came along Rav Avoh in the Gemara and said, you know what? We don't know what to do on Rosh Hashanah. We don't know if the Teruah in the Torah means a blast like that, it means beep, beep, beep. We don't know what that is. So therefore, you know what? We're going to do both. If we're going to do both, the Seder. So because of that, we're going to do both. It's very interesting, by the way. Where did we ever find such a thing? The Ramban, for example, in the Drosha to Rosh Hashanah writes, Loi Matzino, where do you have such a thing where we don't know what to do, so we just do everything? You know, either we do like him, or we do like it. For example, Tzvin. Tzvin we do like Rashi, we do Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, here it's a Machlokes in the Gemara. But what's going on? So it's very interesting. Some of the Rishonim and Achronim deal with this, answer in a simple way. The Bala Ma'or, by the way, deals with the Shaila. And the Bala Ma'or writes, by Shofar, you see how chomer it is. You see how choshev Shofar was. That Avkadeka, Chazal took a Sofei. We don't know what to do. Is it a Teruah? Is it a Shavarim? We'll do both. We don't have that anywhere else. And therefore it shows the chashivas and the importance of the mitzvah of shofar, even though it's obviously a doraisa, but since we don't know, we do both. So the Seder, Rabbeinu, let's make this clear. The Torah said, Yom Teruah. What does Teruah mean? Does Teruah mean, or does Teruah mean, that's a shayla. We don't know what that means, so what we do both. And what we do is like this. Because the Torah tells us, that before each one we need a tekiah, before each one, so we do as follows. But both sides, follow me with me with the cheshbon. Number one is we do tashrat, which is tekiah, shavuot, teruah, and tekiah. Then we did both. What the Gemara says is we did a teruah and a tekiah together, but we also did two tekiahs, one before, one after. Then we do a tekiah, teruah, and another tekiah. I'm sorry, Tekiah, Shavuot, Tekiah, then we do Tekiah, Teruah, Tekiah. So what we've done is we've yotze every shita that we possibly can. How many blasts of the shofar are we up to? 30. Excellent. We're up to 30. No, very good. So in Ikar Din we have 9. Since we don't know what those 9 are, we have to add to them, and therefore we have 30. How do we get to 100?
We don't know where it is.
What?
We don't know where.
No, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So the Gemara tells us like this, Chazal in the Gemara says that when do we blow the shofar? Twice. Once, what we call before Musaf, which is called Miyushah, when you sit down, even though we don't really sit down, our minhag is to stand, but theoretically you could sit down. That's number one. And number two is Mu'umad when you stand, which is during either Shemoneh Esrei and Nusuk Sfad, or during Chazal and Sashat of Nusuk Ashkenaz. So we do twice. How many blasts are we up to now?
60.
Very good. When do you get to 100?
Third
and extra third. So the mice are like this. First of all, before we get to 100, why do we do it twice? Why do we do it twice? The reason we do 30 is to be not what the Torah meant. So we have to go yotze all shitas.
That's what Rabbi Kodos.
No. Say Chazal the Gavaldig Yisoz with the Gimorim Rosh Hashanah to mix up the Sotah. What does that mean? What does it mean to mix up the Sotah? So I'll tell you like this. There's a Machloikas between Rashi and Tosis. Machloikas Rashi and Tosis. Rashi learns that when the Sotan sees that Klal Yisrael are doing the mitzvah of Shofar again, he'll say, Klal Yisrael have such a chavilus to the mitzvah of Shofar, that's it, I can't prosecute against them. That's what Rashi learns. Tosfos brings an oath, and Tosfos says, no, that's not the pshat. So Tosfos, the Sotan is going to hear the Shofar again. He's going to say, it must be the Shofar Shal Mashiach, and he's going to be swallowed up, and that's the end of the Sotan. So the main reason of the Gemara, the reason why we do it twice, once before Musaf, once during Musaf, is in order to have this Yisrael to mix up the Sotan to make sure it doesn't do that. We're up to 60, my boys. How do we get to 100? So here we already have to come Api Kabbalah. There's many reasons, but I'll give Api Kabbalah, we blow 100. Maybe because the Gematria of Kol Ha'amim, Tikkun Chof, is also 100. They bring down the mother of Sisera, cried 100 times. Snappy broke the shofar 100 times. But whatever it is, that's the Maisa, what we're dealing with, and that's what we're doing. So, without going into too much detail of how long each Tekiyah has to be, how long each Shvarim has to be, there's either Neshayla, Neshima Achas, or Shtei Neshimas. When we do the Shvarim in the Truah, does it have to be in one breath? Does it have to be in two breaths? Machlokes is Mishnah Berurah in the Chazon Ish about it. Obviously, we're not going into too much detail in this inyan. I want to say a couple of halachos that Negeira boy say to us. Us, the people sitting in shul, how are we meant to figure out what we're meant to be doing? So number one, Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Hei that a person must be standing during the tekiyahs. That means you cannot lean on your table, you cannot lean on your shtender, you have to stand up in the normal way. To lean on something in a way that it will fall. If you take it away, it's called sitting, and ever that must not be done. You have to stand up. Number two, Mishnah Berurah tells us you have to hear the shofar with your ears. If a person has a hearing aid, for example, he's not yotzer. He has to take out the hearing aid in order to hear the shofar. It's very, very important. Women, for example, by shul, often are standing outside shul to listen, or all sorts of things. You have to know that you have to hear the shofar complete 100% without a shayla. What's that? No. You have to hear it. If it's completely, then no hearing aid. Yes, ask her up. Next, a bracha. When it comes to the bracha, like every other bracha, even though we're not making the bracha of the shofar, somebody else is making it, but we have to have in mind to be yotze by his bracha, even though we're meant to be making the bracha. Number four, no talking. Right, a very important halacha. From the bracha to the end of the shofar, at the end of Musa, there is absolutely no talking allowed in any way. You can sing, you can say to him, you can sing along with the Chazar Sashat, it's beautiful. But to actually talk to your friend must not be done. Why? Because until the mitzvah is finished, you cannot talk. And until the mitzvah is finished, that's the end of Musa. You can say Asher Yotza, by the way. Like we said, you can say Tehillim. You can do all these sorts of things, there's no problem. Number five. Interesting halacha. What happens if in the middle, it's very negeir, right? You guys are going to be here, you have to know this. What happens if the Balta Kea, the person blowing the shofar, he starts blowing the shofar, and the sound completely changes in the middle. What's the halacha? Right? So the Maaser of Shlomo Zalman said there's absolutely no problem if it changes sound in the middle from being a high one to a low one, a low one to a high one. There's no problem of that whatsoever. However, there are those that are machmir and they say that each blast should be 100% equal. There should be no ups and downs in any way. Why do we blow the shofar by the bima? Why do we go all the way to the bima to blow the shofar? What's wrong with us doing it in the front of the base? Medrash Mabaya. So there's a few reasons over here. The Ravush says the reason is cover that tzibur. Cover that tzibur. You do it in the bima, middle of it. That's just cover that tzibur. Number two is to remind us that by the shofar that the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. And the bima is the mocking where the Torah was given. That's where we read the Torah. And therefore it reminds us of our Torah and of our obligation to the Rabbi Yishalayim. The Mishnah Berurah brings another reason. And that is to remind us that Torah is the only thing that can protect us. And it's the Zman of Din. It's that moment of the shofar when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us for every single thing that's going to happen in the upcoming year. And we need every single bit of shmir and every single protection that we can get. And it's Torah that is the only thing that can protect us. That's why another reason why we do by the bima, the kapachayim is another reason, is that the shechina is by the bima, and that's another reason why we do by the bima. I'd like to end with a story that I normally say every single year in my house with my family, sometime during Rosh Hashanah by one of the meals. It's a tremendous, tremendous story, Rabbi, so listen carefully. It always has an effect on me, it has an effect on my family. It's kedai to hear this story. A wonderful, wonderful story. This is a true story, Rabbi Yisrael. This story is told, it's a famous story, by Tzvi Hirsch Meisels, when he was in Rosh Hashanah in Auschwitz. And he says over the story and how it took place, a Rosh Hashanah in Auschwitz, you can imagine the emotions at that moment of people that used to live in the shtetl, that they were so used to having a nice davening with their Rebbe, with their Rav, and all of a sudden they're stuck here in a prisoner's outfit in the middle of Auschwitz with absolutely no identity of being a Yid. And he said as follows, he said from time to time, there were transports of hundreds or thousands were sent from Auschwitz to other camps. One Rosh Hashanah, a lot fell on a transport of approximately 1,000 men to be sent to another place. That transportation, he writes, will be forever etched in my heart for the following reason. He said as follows: for the miracle and mercy of the Rebbeinu Shalom, he was able to smuggle a shofar into the camp. On Rosh Hashanah, he went from block to block with a shofar in his hand. Now this was very, very dangerous. If the Nazis would find him blowing shofar for people, that was instant death without a shayla. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis, and he was able to blow the 100 blasts of the shofar 20 times that day for different Yidden that were around the places in Auschwitz. And you can imagine their neshamas and their goof was so much energized by this wonderful mitzvah of shofar that they were able to mekayim afilu in Auschwitz. Tremendous, tremendous thing. Now he mentioned before that there was an approximately 1,000 men who were about to be transported, who unfortunately, because of the confusion and the transportation and the preparations, had not yet heard the shofar. They were standing at the gate ready to leave, and when I told them that I had a shofar, they said, "Oh, please sound the shofar again so I can do the mitzvah." And he said that it's an unbelievable thing he was able to mekayim the mitzvah. He said there were 1,400 boys that were locked up in one of the places over there that were about to be very shortly burned and gassed to death. There were 1,400 boys. And they found out, after hearing from other people, that there was someone in the camp that had a shofar. And they found that it was him, and they started begging and crying and crying and begging him, "Please, enter the block so you can blow the 100 blasts of the shofar. Let them have the last mitzvah before they die, al kiddush Hashem." This was the last request of these 1,400 boys. He didn't know what to do. It was towards the end of the days, at the end of the day, when a lot of the soldiers and the officers were starting to come in to check and do all sorts of things. You know how dangerous it was to enter that block. The Nazis could come at any time. If I was found to be inside there, there's no doubt in a million years that they would lock me in and my fate would be sealed with their fate. And he started thinking, "What should I do? What should I do?" And he said, 100% I'll be halacha, no shayla. It's awesome for me to go in. It's because I'm putting my life at the sakonis, the foshris. There's no shayla that I can't go in. But when he heard the boys screaming and crying and begging, Rebbe, come in, tell us the shofar, give us that one last mitzvah before we die, kiddush Hashem, he said, it melted my heart. It's not possible to ignore them. And he said, okay. He told his son, who was with him at the time, stand by the door. And his son was begging him, "You've done it 20 times, you've worshipped from Mesias Nefesh, you've risked your life 20 times, it's enough. It's the end of the day, it's so close that they're going to come and find you." He said, "I can't, I have to do the mitzvah." And that's what he did. He put his son by the entrance of that tower where all the boys, 1,400 boys were left, were locked up. And he said to his son as follows, he said, "Please, the moment you see an SS officer coming, I don't care if I'm in the middle of a tekiah, it doesn't make a difference. Just stop me immediately and get me out of there." Because once they found me inside, there's no way that I would have ever been able to leave. I'd have to be burned together with them. So his son said, "Okay, he'll wait for the SS officer." And he said, you can't imagine the emotions of his heart when he entered the block. When he saw the eyes of 1,400 children that knew they were about to be gassed, al kiddush Hashem, that they were about to get this mitzvah of tekiyah shofar for the very last time. They started saying, "Min ha-meitah," they said to me, "Please say a few words of Musa. Tell us something right before you blow the shofar." And he started saying a few things, and the boys started telling him all sorts of unbelievable things. And one boy got up and they said, "Dear friends, the rabbi has strengthened us by telling us that even when a sharp sword is on our throat, we should not despair of mercy. I say to you, however, we can hope for the best, but we must be prepared for the worst. For the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my brothers, let us not forget in our last moments to cry out Shema Yisrael with devotion." As he was leaving, he did all the tekiyas. As he was leaving, a few of the boys approached me and tearfully asked if I could provide them a morsel of bread so they can mekayim the mitzvah of Sudas Rosh Hashanah in their last moments. For a full 24 hours from the time they had been locked up, not a drop of food or water had passed through their lips. They believed, according to the halacha, that it was osur to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Unfortunately, there's no way that he could mekayim their request, and obviously he left and left them to their fate. Rabbi Yisrael, he says, over the mysterious nefesh that he had for the mitzvah of shofar, the mysterious nefesh that these boys had for their mitzvah of shofar. The shofar, as we mentioned before, represents Akedas Yitzchak, the tremendous mysterious nefesh. One of the shailas on Tosfos that we mentioned earlier was as follows. Tosfos says that the Sotan is going to say, hey, what's going on? He's hearing the shofar before and after Musaf. Oi, must be it's Mashiach. They ask the Kashrut goes and say, excuse me, last year he didn't figure out the same trick. And this trick's been going on every single year. What's pshat? Let me tell you pshat, my boy, son. Pshat is like this. Every single year that we are on this world, there's a new Mesiras Nefesh. Every single person sitting in this room has his own Mesiras Nefesh that he's come from wherever he comes from to sit and learn, to sit in the base of measures, to sit in a mokum Torah, to sit and learn. We have no idea how much that is to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And it's that Mesiras Nefesh that the Sotan isn't sure to say, hold on a minute. Maybe this year, Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael, each one to his own, when he opened up a Gemara when it was difficult, when he came to a Shachris when he was tired, when he davened a Mincha when he wasn't interested, when he benched when he hasn't got time. Each of these things is so much Mesiras Nefesh. And it's that Mesiras Nefesh that the Sotan says, hold on, I don't know if the shofar that's going on today in Rosh Hashanah represents the Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael this year. And it could be that Klal Yisrael this year is zeichah to have the Mashiach. This is the yisod of the shofar. This is what it's meant to represent. We should be zeichah beis Hashem abayisai. When we're standing here, right here in the yeshiva, on the day of Rosh Hashanah, twice, hearing the shofar, we should bear this in mind. We should awaken something that's inside to do tshuva. We should awaken and a crying and remember what the Gedolim said, that it represents a crying about tshuva back to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Rebbeinu Shalom, we want to be whole. We want to be better. And when we hear that Tekiyah Gedolah at the end, we'll know that hopefully Be'ez Hashem, with all of our shtadlis during Rosh Hashanah, will become a gavaldig about tshuva, and the Rebbeinu Shalom will give us Be'ez Hashem a gavaldig year ahead for the bracha, hatzlacha, and everything good. Thank you for joining us.